You ready for the word tonight? Turn your Bibles with me to Mark chapter 11. Mark chapter 11. We've been teaching on faith, and we found out that it's our responsibility to develop our faith, right? Jesus talked about some people having great faith and some people having little faith. He even told Peter, you got short bursts of faith when he walked on the water. And then he started to waver and he started to sink. So that was just bursts of faith. And we found out that faith sees with the internal eye. Remember this teaching? That the Bible says we don't look at the things which are seen, but the things which are unseen. How do you look at the unseen? I mean, if you tell somebody that in the world, what do they think about you? I just walk around looking at the unseen. Ooh. But it's in the Word. And if it's in the Word, we know there's a reality behind it, right? That there's really something we should be seeing that is genuine, that is actually enables us to access spiritual power, supernatural forces. And we found out there's a kingdom we can see with our internal eye. Now, we had a few minutes ago in the service, Nancy was seeing angels in the service and seeing the glory in the service. Was she seeing that with a natural eye? She was seeing it with the internal eye that may be enabling her natural eye, but it was coming through her spirit to see those things. And so, we have an internal ability to see. And when you can see something and you know it's yours, you have a connection you can latch your faith onto. You remember that? We found out that faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And we found out the word evidence really means conviction of. Hebrews 11:1 lets you know that faith is being convinced of the unseen. Now see, here's the thing. How many people here believe that you are born again? We know a person born again, God comes inside of them and takes out their heart of sin, puts inside of them a heart of truth, a heart of love, a heart of the very image of God. And the point is, can you see inside of yourself to see that new heart, to see that new nature? No, you can't see it. For one thing, it's spirit. You can't see in that realm in any way unless God enables you to see in that realm. But you know, because the Word declares it, and you spend enough time exposed to the Word that you have access to that new nature. Do you see this? Well, in the same way, God's got promises in the Word. And when you spend time meditating the Word, all of a sudden you'll see internally that is real and it's promised and you have rights to it. In fact, faith realizes you already possess it. You know, religion recognizes God as a healer God, that He's a God that can heal. Faith recognizes we've already been healed through the sacrifice of Jesus, right? And so it's important that we recognize we have to be able to see the unseen. And the way we see it is by getting the image developed by spending time in the Word. You know, another word for ideas would be maybe conceptions, right? Images. And your mind has the ability to conceive, the ability to imagine. And the Word helps you think in lines that produce images of what God has promised. Amen. I can imagine going up in the rapture. I can imagine being in heaven. I'm going to be there. How about you? How do I know that? Because I've seen it in the Word, and it's produced an image in my conception area that lets me give birth to things. And when you see a promise of God and it becomes real to you, you can birth that in your life. Now, Mark chapter 11, are you there? Verse 22. And Jesus answering saith unto them, have faith in God, or have the God kind of faith. And we go to this passage all the time, right? Why? Because it's pivotal for our understanding to function in the supernatural. This is one of the primary teachings Jesus brought that enables us to access supernatural power. For verily I say unto you, that would be all of us, right? that whosoever shall say to this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe, that's the word for faith, that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Now here's the point we want to bring out tonight. It's not enough to believe. It's not enough to have faith. Faith is not activated until it is spoken. Whosoever shall believe and say to the mountain. First you develop your faith, and then you release your faith by saying the word or the promise of God. You say what faith is conceived within you. And so faith gives birth to the supernatural. In other words, it releases or sparks, acts as a catalyst to be able to receive what God has said. And until you speak it, you won't have it. And with a lot of charismatics, this is a place that they miss out on it. They think believing is enough. Having heard it at church and know that it's real is enough. But you've got to have it down in you until it becomes part of your conversation. And also, we've understood, it's not just to say it once, and then you can say what you want to after that. What really is down inside of you regarding faith will be evidenced by what you say on a full-time basis. Do you follow me? In other words, you can't say, I feel terrible, I'm sick. But the Bible says I'm healed, so I receive healing. And then 5 minutes later, well, I guess it didn't work, I'm still sick. You're still saying the wrong thing. Faith grabs a hold of what the Word says and doesn't let it go. Now here's the thing, he says, that speaks and doesn't doubt. If you see yourself wavering on what the Word says, it doesn't mean faith isn't working. It means you need to do some things to it enhance your faith. Now again, we're going to Ghana here this next week, and we're doing a faith enhancement seminar. We want to instruct how to operate in the highest levels of faith. Well, we have the ability to examine ourselves and determine, is everything coming out of my mouth in line with what God has promised? Do you follow me? Well, let's go on. Go over to Proverbs chapter 18. Because tonight we're looking at how faith speaks. Proverbs 18, verse 20. A man's belly shall be satisfied with the fruit of his mouth, and with the increase of his lips shall he be filled. In other words, what comes into your life is going to come through what you speak. And we know this is not how the natural world operates. It's how the unseen realm operates. It's how the kingdom of God functions. It's one of the key principles in the kingdom of God, to be able to believe and speak and watch the natural align to God's word. We've been given authority to bind and to loose, right? Jesus said, I give you the keys of the kingdom. And whatsoever you shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatever you shall loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. In other words, that authority to bind and loose is activated by what you speak. You don't have a magic rope like Wonder Woman that you can wrap around somebody. They have to tell the truth and line up to everything. You don't have a set of spiritual handcuffs that you're finding demonic powers or finding those that are functioning in wickedness that you can use on and say, oh, okay, I put these handcuffs on you in the name of Jesus. You've been given the power of words, which has more power than Wonder Woman's rope and every pair of handcuffs in the world. Do you follow me? And so, by speaking the word of God, by speaking what God has declared, in faith, we can bind and loose anything that would rise up against us, bind what we need to and loose what we need to. Amen? Loose the power of God into our lives, the angels to go on assignment, the blessings of God to overtake us. One of the things we should be speaking into our life daily should be, I have the blessing of Abraham. Blessings follow me everywhere I go. I'm blessed in the city. I'm blessed in the field. Everything I put my hand to prospers. Why? You're getting your words in line with what God has said. You're releasing your faith in it versus, see, here's what the world says. And here's what Christians say who don't understand the power of their words. Well, you know, anything that can go wrong will go wrong. No, that's Murphy's Law, not Jesus' Law. That's a worldly curse situation. In my life, everything that can go right will go right. Everything falls on my behalf. How about yours? And you got to recognize God's given you promises to walk in His blessing, walk in His promises and power, and voice it forth, and refuse to speak Murphy's Law. Here's one that I've been hearing a lot over the past couple years. It's become a Christian saying, cliche. I'll ask people, how are you doing today? I'll ask Christians. I'll ask Spirit-filled Christians, how are you doing? And they'll go, better than I deserve. Not me, I'm God's favorite. I didn't deserve it because of what I did. I deserve it because of what He did. But because I'm now His son, I deserve it. I'm a joint heir with Christ, a son of adoption, a Christian filled with the Holy Ghost. We deserve God's favor. Do you follow me? I am made. Now, understand when I say I'm talking about all of us. We are made in the image of God if we are born again. We've been made a clean temple that the Spirit of God could come in and inhabit and even be overflowing with the Spirit of God, where He even gives you your own personal prayer language to speak His perfect will into the earth. And you don't deserve it. We are the ones that deserve it. Again, we didn't earn it, but He earned it for us. Do you follow me? Purchased it for us. But understand, just speak the blessing. You've got to speak it. Loose it. Loose the blessing to come into your life. Verse 21, death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. Now again, these are verses we cover quite often in here. But they're foundational verses to function in the power of God. You've got to know that God gave you the ability to speak life or death. I like how the Lord told the Israelites when they were, you know, coming to the promised land, He said, you can choose life or you can choose death. And then He gives you a hint on what to do. He says, choose life. Well, here He says death and life is in the power of the tongue. I believe death is first because that's the natural state of being in a cursed world. You've been speaking death all of your life. Do you follow me? Nothing ever goes right for me. You know, it's probably another bad day. Yesterday was a bad day. Today will probably be worse. Don't say that. I don't care how bad yesterday was or this morning. Today is going to be the best day of your life. Speak it. And then step into it and expect it to manifest. Do you follow me? Because death is the natural conversation of man. But those that become redeemed and can see into that unseen realm start to speak life. And I've been in dead situations. And I've been in resurrection life situations. And God's life is better than dead. Do you follow me? And so we're learning to speak God's Word. Go to Genesis. Now, I was here not very long ago, and we mentioned this. Genesis chapter 1. God creates the heavens and the earth, right? Verse 3 said, and God said, there was light. And it says, there was light. God said, let there be light, and there was light. Now, are you like me and believe that God's always had infinite faith? I don't believe God's ever had a shortage of faith. I believe before He ever said, let there be light, He saw the light. He saw all this creation of whatever what He wanted to do. In fact, I believe He saw from the beginning to the end. I believe before he said, let there be light, he saw you and what he wanted you to accomplish by his word. Do you follow me? But until he said, let there be, there was no light, even though he saw it. Even though he had faith for it, there was no light until he spoke it. His speaking loosed his faith to produce light. In fact, even the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters, right? There was darkness on the face of the earth. The Spirit of God hovered over the waters, waiting to move, waiting to release creative power. But until Father God said, let there be, the Spirit of God remained inactive as far as any creative power, that release. But when he said, let there be, the power of the Holy Spirit went into manifestation, went into operation to create this world, whatnot, to create the light that we see now. Do you follow me? It must be spoken. Verse 6, and God said, let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters. Let it divide the waters from the waters. Verse 7 at the bottom says, and it was so. Verse 9 said, and God said, let the waters under the heaven be gathered together in one place, and let the dry land appear. And it was so. Verse 11, and God said, let the earth yield or bring forth grass and the herb yielding seed, and the fruit tree yielding fruit after his kind, whose seed is in itself upon the earth. And it was so. Are you seeing a pattern? God said, and it was so. Verse 12, and the earth brought forth grass and herb yielding seed after his kind, and the tree yielding fruit whose seed was in itself after his kind, and God saw that it was good. Now, we're not going to go all the way through this, but in each of these days, and God said, birth the creation of that day. Do you follow me? And in many of the cases, he says, and God said, and it was, and God saw that it was good. God said, it was, and God saw. But here's the point. God saw it before he said it. But he said it, he saw it in a different fashion after he said it. See, he had to see the earth yielding the trees and the seed before he said it. But when he said it, it manifested in a different fashion. And now he saw it with a different set of eyes, if I could put it in that fashion. In other words, it was there in reality. The same thing is true for us. You see it, you say it, and then you see it with a different set of eyes. First you see in the spirit, then you see in the natural. And saying becomes the bridge between the two. What you speak becomes the bridge between what you see internally and what you experience externally. Death and life is in the power of the tongue. And it's vital we as believers get a hold of this principle. And this is where it becomes difficult because it runs so counter to the natural mind. I remember years ago the first time I heard this, and they said, yes, you got to speak your faith. Well, do what? God knows what I need. He knows my faith. He knows my needs. Why don't I speak it? But I had to realize my presumptions of how God moves must become subject to how the Word of God says He's going to move. My preconceived mentality or ideas of how the kingdom of God or the church should function really have to bow down to how Jesus said the church is going to function. And the Word says, you've got to speak to the mountain. Do you follow me? But you got to see it before you speak it. If you'll see it, speak it, then you'll see it again in a different fashion. Let's look at some other verses here. We'll go back to Mark chapter 11. Let's finish that passage. Mark chapter 11, verse 24. Jesus says, therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire, when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you shall have them. He says, whatever you desire, when you pray, believe that you receive it, and you'll have it. Now, I want to throw in some caveats to that, meaning, you know, some conditions. The Word also says some people pray, but they don't have because they pray with wrong desires. Right? That they may consume it on their lusts. God says that prayer is not going to be answered. So it's not enough just to desire something. It must be in line with the Word of God. I'll even take it further. It must be in line with the will of God. You see? Because he says, well, let's go there. John chapter, 1 John chapter 5. First John chapter 5, verse 14. And this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask, speak, declare, demand anything according to his will, he heareth us. There's no problem with God hearing. You don't want to scream it for God to hear. God hears what you say. Do you see this? And then it says, and if we know that he hear us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of him. We can know if we ask in faith according to his will, we will have what he said we can have. Right? Now, in fact, the Word also says that God will give you the desires of your heart. Now, one level of application of that means that God will give you whatever you desire. But I believe before he'll give you what you desire, you first must have his desires. So first he's going to change your desires to be in line with what he wants you to have. For example, you can't just say, God, bring me that woman. That may not be God's will. Especially if you're another woman. Sorry. This is the days we're in, right? Or, Lord, bring me $10 million. $10 million may destroy you. A lot of people wanting millions of dollars want it so they never have to use their faith again. They would buy everything they need versus build their faith and believe God for it. Do you see that? So God will give you his desires so you can speak out proper desires that he can answer. But Jesus said, whatever you desire, when you pray, believe that you receive it, and you shall have it. Right? But what we speak becomes a vital step for this. Luke chapter 17. Luke chapter 17, verse 5. And the apostle said unto the Lord, increase our faith. How many also want God to increase your faith? And the Lord said, if you had faith as a grain of mustard seed, you might say to the sycamore tree, be thou plucked up by the root and be thou planted in the sea, and it shall obey you. Now, it says, you might say to the sycamore tree, be plucked up. And he said, all it takes is mustard seed faith. Normally we preach this verse, this passage. We talk about, yes, you start with mustard seed faith and you've got to develop and grow it. I believe that's true. How about you? We're assigned to grow our faith beyond seed level. But he said, if you had mustard seed faith, you could command a sycamore tree to be removed. I believe one thing we can pull out of this verse is he's saying you may have that faith level even, but until you say it, you won't have it. Do you follow me? He said, even if you have a little bit of faith, just mustard seed level, if you'll say it, you'll have it. The problem is people aren't saying it. The church is not confessing the word like I believe we've got an opportunity to do. We're out there trying to run around and do good deeds and be nice people, which are all great. But if you want to step into the supernatural, it requires your tongue being involved in speaking God's word. You've got to target speaking the word over and into your life, into your situations. I really believe, even in a charismatic church, we would find more people speaking the majority of their words regarding the problems they face rather than the solutions God offers. Shall I say that again? Most charismatics are speaking about the problem more than they're speaking about the solution. And if the weight of your words is about everything you're facing and everything you're going through and everything you're being challenged with, and not that, hey, by His stripes I was healed, or He supplies all my need according to His riches and glory, or He takes all sickness and disease from me, my wife is a fruitful vine, whatever. If you're speaking the problem more than what God said, you'll probably get more of the problem. I'm not saying you can never say a negative word. None of us are going to walk this thing perfect. Amen? But the volume of your words must be in line with what God has spoken. The vast majority of words must be in line with what God spoke. And you must resist the temptation to speak the problem. I've heard this said many times, and I believe it's such a great saying, that most Christians are speaking to God about their mountain instead of their mountain about God. Do you follow me? And even fewer are commanding their mountain to obey the word of God. And we have the ability to command these things to be removed. And see, these are spiritual laws that are non-negotiable. Do you follow me on that? Not that a gift can't manifest or God's mercy can't kick in, but if you want to live by faith, these laws become non-negotiable. We've got to function by them. With the ability to command the sycamine tree to be removed, which again could be whatever problem you're facing. And understand, we mentioned a mountain. It could represent a very large problem you're facing. What would a sycamine tree represent? Something maybe that's been rooted for a long time. The roots maybe go deep, but you have still the ability to uproot that thing, command it out of your life. Amen? You know, I find this interesting as well because I'm assuming a sycamine tree is a sycamore, what we call a sycamore. I've been told that's true. And I've been around a lot of sycamore trees. Do you know where sycamore trees tend to grow? Always on the edge of the water, the edge of the creek or the river, the lake. They're always on the edge of water. I don't know if anybody has sycamine trees or sycamore trees in their yard unless they're near water. I'm sure there are some. But I've been in a lot of sycamore trees, usually getting my lures at them because they're over the water when I used to fish. And I find it interesting that Jesus said, you can command a sycamore tree, which tends to be along the water, which may be what's blocking you from getting to the river of God. Did you follow that? There's some things maybe rooted in your life you got to get rid of to get fully into the river with God. Just a side thought. We have the authority to command those out of the way. Go to Matthew chapter 4. I find this interesting. Matthew 4. Not Mark. Verse 1. Then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward unhungered. I bet he was. And when the tempter came, who's the tempter? Satan, right? When the tempter came to him, he said, if thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread. But he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Notice here, Satan recognized Jesus' ability to command transformation. Do you see this? He said, you have the ability to say to the rock, turn into bread. But of course, Jesus was not going to let the enemy direct his steps in any fashion. Amen. Lead him down the path that Satan's going to challenge him to. And so we know that he answered, man doesn't live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. He answered the word. He answered with word. Right? And so that's what we do. We answer every challenge of the enemy with word. But what we see here is the enemy knows your ability to use creative words. The enemy recognizes the power of your words. The first temptation against Jesus was to misuse the power of your words. So what's he going to try to do to you? Try to get you to say that you're sick, or that you're tired, or that you're sick and tired of being tired or sick, that, you know, everything's falling apart around you. How about this one? You're just getting old. Those words never come out of my mouth. You follow me? Those words, I don't care how many years you've got advanced in your life, you should never say, I am getting old. Or I'm just older now, you know, things. We used to call it furniture disease. Did you ever hear that one? Your chest falls into your drawers. Chest or drawers, yeah. You go from this to this. No, we do not speak aging into our life. My youth is renewed as the eagles. And somebody else is probably saying, you don't look like it. Whether it looks like it or not, I'm going to line up my life with the word. And this has to, if I will believe it and speak it and hold to it, this has to line up to what the word says. Amen. Praise God. Matthew 17. Don't let chronological advancement of time be your excuse to let your body fall apart. Speak to your body. Follow me and put the right things in it to some level, right? You can't live on Heath bars because they're not health bars, they're Heath bars. Think it's going to produce long life and peace for you. I said Heath bars because my wife doesn't like Heath bars. That's the only chocolate I could touch. Well, you know, dark chocolate's healthy. Not if you eat 5 pounds of it a day. And it's still got sugar in it. Again, I'm not trying to pick on it. I'm not trying to make health food issues here. I'm just saying there's a responsibility to take care of your body and speak into it. Amen. Praise God. You cannot make everything with a pound of butter. I heard somebody say this years ago, and I so agreed with it, that, you know, when you look at the information on the back of a package, they'll have listed fat grams. They shouldn't be called fat grams. They should be called taste grams. Because they indicate the taste of it. You know, I don't believe there's any fat in rice cakes. It's obvious there's no fat in rice cakes. Amen. And as I heard a comedian say years ago, talking about serving sizes, you know, they'll put serving size, you know, serving size of this ice cream, 200 calories. Serving size is a half a cup. Who eats a half a cup of ice cream? You follow me? When I ate ice cream, which I'm not eating it now, I've been out being almost a year without ice cream. What's it been, 10 months without ice cream? Other than some of the samples I have to taste to check our quality, that's all I've done. Like a half of a teaspoon. Where was I going with that one now? Serving size. I eat ice cream by the container. You know, a half gallon ice cream was two servings. Cut it in half, that was... And then China loves Fig Newtons. I love Fig Newtons. And I heard a comedian say this one time, that you look it up and serving size of Fig Newtons is two cookies. I eat Fig Newtons by the sleeve. Because they'll go stale if you don't eat the whole thing. They dry out. When I was eating Fig Newtons. Amen. Praise God. Matthew 17, have you got it? Verse 20. Well, let's back up. Verse 14, and when they were come to the multitude, they came to him. There came to him a certain man kneeling down to him and saying, Lord, have mercy on my son, for he is lunatic and sore vexed, for oft times he falleth into the fire and oft into the water. And I brought him to the disciples, and they could not cure him. And Jesus answered and said, O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him hither to me. Now let's stop right for just a second. Jesus said to people that couldn't cast out devils, you're faithless and perverse. Where does that place most of the church? In the level that God wants us to be in faith to deal with these situations. The Christian church is far. What would be the malnourished, emaciated, impotent in an area of dealing with demonic forces? And we thought it was enough. Now nobody think I'm trying to say there aren't any, you know, nobody's saved, but we thought it was enough just to believe in Jesus and confess Him. And that was all God expected. But here He says, those that don't cast out devils with no faith for that are perverse and powerless. Faithless. I don't want to get to heaven and Jesus said, you barely made it. I want to hear you maxed it out. And apparently, according to Jesus, casting out devils, dealing with demonic forces is part of what He expects in our life. Now, please nobody get condemned over that. Well, I've never cast any devils out. Start believing that you can. If you start confessing that you can, the devils will come to you. You don't have to go find them. In fact, you get ready to. We go in one circles of building quite often. We'll send you out to them. You can practice. God hasn't released us yet to deal with him, but we're getting close. But we'll let you practice on him. Amen. We've had a few of them be in here before. Hey, I remember those times. Early on, we'd have demoniacs coming to church, and the pastor would say, take him in the room, you go deal with it. Do what? You go give it your best shot. Come out of him. Remember one of the first times the devil said, I don't have to come out of him. We have a pact. I break that pact in the name of Jesus. Work it where you got it. Amen? Yeah. Yes. And Jesus rebuked the devil. He rebuked it. What did he do? He spoke. He spoke. Why didn't the devil leave when Jesus just walked up? He certainly had the faith for it. He hadn't spoke yet. He had not released his authority for the transformation to take place. And he departed out of him. and the child was cured from that very hour. Then came the disciples of Jesus apart and said, why could we not cast him in? Let me pause right there for a minute and throw this in. Because I said it didn't leave until Jesus said it. But I can think of one case where Jesus didn't say anything and somebody was healed. Remember the woman with the issue of blood? Who just touched the hem of his garment? Jesus didn't say a thing, but anointing virtue left him and healed her of that disease she had for 12 years. Right? But she kept saying. The scripture says she kept saying. The verb tense is continuous. She kept saying within herself, if I can but touch the hem of his garment, I shall be made whole. Her faith and speech made that connection. And appropriate according actions enable her to receive that healing. So the disciples said, why couldn't we cast him out? And Jesus said unto them, because of your unbelief. Verily I say unto you, if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, you shall say unto this mountain, be remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible unto you. Howbeit this kind come go without not by prayer and fasting. He said, this spirit was of a higher level that required more time in building your faith to deal with than you've had. Do you follow? That's my interpretation. I've heard several interpretations. This is mine. Prayer and fasting build your faith when combined with the Word. I've heard people say, well, I just haven't fasted. I can't cast out the devil. It's not the fasting that does it. It's the result of the fast. And if you can get your faith to a high enough level, you can cast the devils whether you fasted in a year or not. Do you follow me? In fact, Jesus fasted those 40 days. We have no evidence he ever fasted again. In fact, we have evidence he probably didn't. Because the disciples of John the Baptist came to him and says, our disciples fast, yours don't. You guys aren't fasting, we're fasting. What's up with this? You're operating in power, we're not. He had already fasted, he'd already built his faith. Do you follow me? But there is a place where you can, I believe, use fasting to clear out clutter in your thinking, clutter in your physical body, hear God more clearly, the Word of God becomes more real, and it enhances your faith. Do you see this? And so, here's the point I wanted to make, though. Some would say, well, that's just the same thing he said in Mark chapter 11. No, it's not the same instance. In Mark chapter 11, you can go back and look at it if you want to. In Mark chapter 11, Jesus has just cursed the fig tree that had no figs. And it dried up from the roots, and the disciples said, that fig tree that you curse is dead. Do you follow me? And Jesus said, have faith in God. To paraphrase, you can say to this mountain, be removed. This is a situation, a totally different situation, where he comes upon the boy that's possessed, they cast out the devils, and then he says the same thing. The point I want to make is, apparently this is something that Jesus spoke frequently. Scripture even says, at the mouth of two or three witnesses, let every word be established. We understand, if you want to build a doctrine, you need to find it at least more than once in the Word. You follow me? And we see here Jesus repeatedly, not just repetition of the same instance, but he said repeatedly, you've got to be able to speak to the mountain in faith and it'll obey you. Why? Because it was his primary spiritual principle we're to function in. Faith is released as we speak God's word. He says, let's read verse 20 again. And Jesus said unto them, because of your unbelief, for verily I say unto you, if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, you shall say unto this mountain, there's the mountain, be thou removed hence to yonder place, it shall remove. And nothing shall be impossible unto you. Nothing shall be impossible by faith. The only limitation to what faith can produce is how high a level you can build your faith to. You become the limiter of what faith can do in your life to the level you'll build your faith. And you've got to want it enough to build it. Oh, what are some things I've wanted to build and finally did? Oh my, you know, I bought several years back, probably about 4 years ago, I bought a motorcycle fender, and I said, someday I want to make a lamp out of that. And it sat in my house in the corner for a couple years, just a motorcycle fender. And finally, I made the lamp out of it. In fact, I made a Star Wars battle droid lamp out of it with flashing guns. But I didn't get that until I did it. It wasn't enough to want it. I had to apply myself to it. There are things you wanted to build or create or get involved in. Until you did it, you didn't have the results of it. I'm thinking about Tim and Jana. About 14 years ago, wanted to build their own house. Been 14 years? Thereabouts, 15 maybe. They wanted to build their own house. They designed and built their own house. Built it themselves. They didn't have it until they built it. But they had to want it enough to do it. To take 4 years off of work to build your own house in the way you want it built. They had to want it. They might have been wavering a bit toward the end, wondering if it was worth it or not, but they had to want it. I know the excitement. You get it under roof. You go, it's under roof. Oh, this is so fun. And you realize that's only 20% of the job. By the time they're painting it for the fourth time and fixing all the little dings in the wall, it's tedious. Anyway, what is it you've done that you had to want to do enough to put the effort into it? Patty, years ago, she'd always wanted to get involved in karate, so she got in karate and stayed with it until she got her black belt. I made her quit. She just stayed with it. Well, me and the chiropractor made her quit. She come home with her shoulders hurting, and she's rubbing my shoulders, rubbing my back. I said, Patty, could it be that breaking boards is maybe having an impact on your upper body? No! Till the doctor says, do you realize breaking boards is not good for your upper body? All of a sudden, now I've got wisdom that I didn't have before the chiropractor confirmed it. She wanted it so much, she was willing to go through that physical effort to do it. What is it you've been willing to put a lot of effort behind to step in to do something you always wanted to do? What we've got to do is come to the point we want to function in the power of God more than anything else. And if you want it enough, you will put forth the effort to do it. But there's got to be a transition within us to realize God's not after routine Christianity. He's not after some cookie cutter mold of how we're just supposed to be nice people. He's after people functioning in the supernatural. And he told us in specifically how we can do that, how we can obtain it. You've got to realize what you can do. And want it enough to make shifts in your life to move towards it. Amen. And of course, we've done whole lessons on you might have to turn off the television, leave the bed unmade, you know, skip doing some of the distracting things, and get in the Word. Matthew 21. We'll just skip that one because that is the same. Matthew 12. Matthew 21 is actually the same situation in Matthew that we saw in Mark 11 where he did say speak to the mountain after the fig tree. So we see he speaks it more than once even in the book of Matthew. Did you follow that? Matthew 12. Verse 33. Either make the tree good and his fruit good, or else make the tree corrupt and his fruit corrupt. For the tree is known by his fruit. Now, You got to decide whether you're going to put beneficial things on the inside of you or corrupt things on the inside of you. You can put the Word of God inside of you. You can put worldly mentalities on the inside of you, right? He says in verse 34, O generation of vipers. He's speaking to the religious leaders of his day. O generation of vipers, how can ye, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth good things. And an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart bringeth forth evil things. Now, we could spend a lot of time on these three verses. But he says, if you're evil on the inside, you can't speak or produce good on the outside. So if you're not born again, I don't care what maybe you think you're doing for the world, it's not producing anything in God's eyes. Because there's evil on the inside, it can't produce good on the outside. That's easy enough, right? But I want to look at this in this fashion. You can still be good on the inside because you've been born again, and still produce evil on the outside. Well, how is that possible? Because I'm good on the inside. I've been made in the image of God. Yes, but you still have wrong things on the inside that is polluting what you're bringing forth of the outside. Remember in James, it talks about that. Well, I need to go there. Hold this spot. Talking about the contaminated water. James chapter 3. James chapter 3. Verse 8, but the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil full of deadly poison. Therewith bless we God, even the Father, and therewith curse we men, which are made after the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceedeth blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not so to be. He's talking to believers. And he's saying, out of the same mouth, we're seeing people speak blessing and cursing. It shouldn't be like that. Why? Because there's corrupt stuff still down inside of there. It says, doth the fountain send forth at the same place both sweet water and bitter? Either the water holds poison, or we can drink it. It's not part drinkable and part poison. It's all mixed together. And if you allow corruptible things to get inside of you, including religious teachings that instruct you in unbelief, it will contaminate what comes out of your mouth, and you'll be speaking the curse instead of the blessing. Like I've said so many times, there should never be a urinating in at the end of the public swimming pool. You follow me? Years ago, I don't think you can smoke there at all or not anymore, but many years ago, they were trying to shut down smoking in public places, and they made Rupp Arena a smoke-free zone. But they designated a part in Rupp Arena where the smokers could go. Does anybody remember that one? And were you in that spot a few times or two? I heard that. You had to go to that one section. It was kind of a little area, and the smokers would be all packed in there, you know, pulling on their coffin nails. And not for us. We're redeemed, right? But the problem was, it was still the same air conditioning system. Now, maybe you didn't have a smoker right next to you, you know, blowing in your face, but it's still the same air circulating. It was still in the air, right? Highly diluted. Yes, restaurants do. We'll have a smoking section. It's the same air conditioner. Amen. The point I want to bring out of this is, you've got to put the right stuff in to bring the right words out. And if you're allowing contaminated stuff, even exposure to, how can I say this, natural mindsets versus supernatural expectations, it will contaminate your faith. You've got to get where you believe the Word only. Do you follow me? Where you speak the Word only. Now, I want to go a few more verses really quick. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. No, I don't have time to go there. It's going to be too much. Go back to Matthew chapter 12. Let's spend another minute with this. Matthew 12, let's go back to verse 35. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth good things. And an evil man out of the evil treasure bringeth forth evil things. In other words, what's inside of you is going to come out. I tell you what, people can guard their words till they're under pressure. When they're under pressure, what's on the inside is going to come to the outside. Well, blankety blank, I thought I was over this. Well, apparently there was something inside of you that really wasn't yet fully sanctified, fully removed, right? And not saying that's going to keep you from heaven, but it's evidence there's more room for us to work. Well, let's read the next verse for the sake of time. But I say unto you that every idle word, that word idle there means powerless. The word there is rhema. Not logos, but rhema. Every powerless rhema. In other words, every rhema you have, you're not putting to use. That men shall speak. They shall give account thereof in the day of judgment. For by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned. Again, I'm not trying to condemn anybody, put fear in anybody. But if you have a rhema of what God says you can do, but you're speaking counter to that rhema, God, the word says there's a judgment there. Now, does that mean when you get to heaven, you're standing before God, He's going to say, you said the wrong thing at the wrong time, you're going to hell? I don't think so. But the judgment may be that you get what you spoke. I mean, you can have a revelation that God's the healer God, but you can keep saying, I'm sick and tired of being sick and tired, and you just made a rhema powerless. And you spoke it. You let it come out of your mouth. It's one thing to have something rolling around in your head, but you should be able to clamp down your teeth and say, it's not coming out of my mouth. I refuse to speak and take a rhema of God and make it idle or powerless. Here's one. Nobody get mad at me. I'm just tired of being broke. What promise of God is that one? I never have enough money, never have any money. Where is that in the Word? The Word says He supplies all your need. He multiplies your seed hundredfold. But when you speak that, you took a rhema of God and you made it idle, powerless. And there's a judgment there. You know what the judgment may be? You stay broke. Our words determine our future. You are where you are today, most likely because of what you spoke yesterday. And you'll be tomorrow what you're speaking today. Wouldn't it be vital? Wouldn't it be important? Wouldn't it be valuable? Put it that way, valuable? To get some confession cards and start speaking in your life what God said you can have? And flood the fountains internally within you with the Word of God and with what God has promised so that the right thing comes out of your mouth? Because death and life are in the power of tongue. Death is a natural result, but you can transform it to life. Remember we read Sunday morning a week or so ago about Elisha throwing the stick in the waters that were poisoned? The bitter waters at Marah? And they put the stick in and they could drink the water. The stick being a type of the cross or the Word of God being thrown in. You can transform what's on the inside of you by flooding the inside of you with fresh water of the Word. For those that have ever flushed radiators on a car, you know, they recommend every year you flush your radiator out. And I do that probably every 10 years or so. But they recommend you do it frequently, you flush your radiators out. The problem is, if you drain your radiator, on your car, it only drains the radiator. It does not drain the engine block for the most part. It can, but it doesn't get it all. And so what you've got to do is you've got to hook a hose up to it if you want to do it, and it helps to pull the thermostat. And you can put the hose in there and drain it and keep running fresh water, and it'll flush everything out. Just keep running until everything's perfect and you won't have clean water coming out. Does this sound right to you? What'd you do? You flooded your system with fresh water to get the old nasty water out, and then you put your new antifreeze in and everything, get it up to level. Well, same thing is true with you. You've got to be flushed out. All that junk that's been built up for years with the Word. To have the right promises of God come out of your mouth. Well, listen, I'm out of time for tonight. Amen? But God's raising up a people that live by faith. We just got to be willing to make the shifts to move into it. Amen? Father, we thank you for your word. Seal it within us. We thank you, Lord God, you're raising up a generation of people that live by faith. Thank you that in this church, there are none sick, none in pain, none in lack, none oppressed, none dying before their time until they're very old and ready to go. We have a covering over this church that no enemy attack can penetrate and take anybody out. We decree it in Jesus' name. Amen. If you need prayer for anything, I'd be glad to pray with. Otherwise, hug some neck. Shalom. God be blessed.